All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis, proudly in partnership with our good friends at Wonderwall Beer. Hope you guys are all right. Happy New Year, Merry Christmas and all that stuff. It is now 2026. I'm recording this on the late night of the 4th of January 2026. And yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. I had a couple of weeks away. I was away in Thailand over Christmas and New Year, which was really cool. It's really, really exciting. I did take the laptop with me just in case anything happened in the world of Oasis, but nothing major happened. So didn't have to do any emergency broadcast from the other side of the world, but there you go. Anyway, hope you guys are all right. Well, 2025, what a year it was. Really excited to see what will happen in 2026. As of right now, nothing really. It's gone very, very quiet. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see what happens. But thinking about 2025 and what a crazy year it was and how exciting it was, that whole the madness of the Oasis reunion tour and everything that went with it, with all the pop-up shops and the drones and the videos and just the crazy stories of people being so affected by it. You know, I was thinking, like, where does this rank in, you know, in the years of having been an Oasis fan? You know, I've been an Oasis fan since 1994 or end of 1994. Yeah, and it was right up there with one of the craziest years to have been an Oasis fan. And so having thought about that, well, we don't just think about things, we create content from them. So I thought, well, why don't we do a ranking of every year, the experience of having been an Oasis fan every year since they formed in 1991, because that is now 35 years since they formed in 1991. So they have been a band for 35 years, although there was a big gap in the middle, obviously. But yeah, and then crazily enough, talking about the podcast, this is now my 10th year of having done the Oasis podcast, because I started in April 2017. We are now in 2026. This is my 10th year of having been doing the Oasis podcast. Now, obviously, the 10-year anniversary is not going to be until, you know, April next year. But because of that weird way, you can kind of go, well, I've done it in 10 different years. You know what I mean? But anyway. So that's what we're doing today. I've looked back at the history of being an Oasis fan from the first year, 1991, well, there wasn't that many Oasis fans back then, through all the way through to 2025, including the solo years in the middle. So, and I've ranked them by you know, how great it was to be an Oasis fan in those years, or a Noel and Liam fan, obviously, in those years. And just to give you a heads up on the criteria, it will become clear as I go through, but the key thing for me as a fan is really, what were they up to? You know, what were the brothers up to? A year when Oasis were active gets added benefit, because as much as it's great when Noel and Liam were doing stuff, it was always more special when it was Oasis. So those years do get an extra bump. But beyond that, it's about, you know, gigs and new music generally. You know, I love new music. I want to hear new songs, even if it's sort of two or three new songs on a single, then great. You know, a year when there's new music gets a bump. A year when there's no new music, even if there's gigs, you know, drops down a little bit for me. But yeah, but we'll see. So as we go through, we will we'll have a chat through. All right, so without any further ado, let's crack on. In 35th place, the worst year to be an Oasis fan, I think, was obviously 1991, because really, well, what was there in 1991 as an Oasis fan? Well, there was the first few gigs that they ever did, which say hardly anyone went to. I mean, poor old Mary McGuigan, God rest her soul. It would have been nice to have heard a bit more from her over the years, what she, you know, what she thought about seeing Oasis in 1991. But yeah, all there was really, there was three shows in January and April, as The Rain, and then they become Oasis in the August. And then there was, yeah, a couple of gigs, and that was about it. Although the only other thing that they did, and in terms of new music, obviously no new music was released, but they did do some recordings. So the Out of the Blue Studios recording, which is the one with Alice, Take Me Reminisce. And so, yeah, so I suppose that the best song, if I'm also looking at like a best song for each year as well, I suppose from those ones, you'd probably say Take Me. Although, to be honest, Alice, Take Me Reminisce, neither of them are particularly great, but we'll go with Take Me. Take me when I'm young and true. Was it me or was it you? Take me when I'm not so strong. Why has it taken you so long? Take me when you feel I've gone. I always knew I could be someone. Take me if you think you're right. Do it now before it's light. Okay, so next up in 34th place, the next worst year to have been an Oasis fan would be 1992, because obviously, once again, there wasn't really very much. They weren't full-time musicians yet. They did a few gigs, you know. They did Dartford Campus supporting the Yah-Yahs. They did Hippodrome Middleton supporting Revenge. You know, that's about it. There was a handful of gigs. They did a few more at the Boardwalk. The only thing that I suppose in terms of new music, this does sort of bump it up quite a bit, to be honest, is apparently the Oasis sad song, the Maldeth Road West demo. So basically the Liam sad song that was released with the Definitely Maybe, was recorded in November 1992. So apparently this was recorded around then. Obviously wasn't released until many years later, but yeah, apparently that was released then. Plus, then also in 1992, you've got some of the Boardwalk recordings and things that you've got out there. But yeah, but if the best song from 1992 is very, very clearly Liam doing Sad Song.
Sing a sad song in a lonely place. Try to put a word in for me. It's been so long. I found a space. You'd better put in two or three. We as people are just walking round. Our heads are firmly fixed in the ground. What we don't see, well, it can't be real. What we don't touch, we can't.
All right, so on to the in 33rd place. I'm going to go 2010. So 2010, we only had the digital release of Bring the Light, the first BDI single. Though it wasn't a real single yet, but yeah, the first thing released by BDI was Bring the Light, and then Four Letter Word at the end of the year. Plus, Noel did a Teenage Cancer Trust gig and a few bits of TV, you know, like he appeared on Football Focus and he did the FA Cup draw with Serge from Kasabian and stuff like that. So, you know, there really wasn't very much going on for Noel in that year. So, yeah, so very quiet year, really. This was that sort of post-Oasis year before BDI really kicked off and before Noel came back in 2011. And in terms of releases for that year, well, if we're talking BDI, the only options we've got are Bring the Light and Four Letter Word, both of which I really like, but Four Letter Word will go with. All right, next up we have in 32nd place, 2003. So all that really happened in 2003, obviously this is like an Oasis down year, having done Heathen Chemistry in 2002. The only release we had was the Songbird single, and they did promo for Songbird in February and March. But other than that, they didn't do a huge amount in 2003. Like, Noel played Wonderwall at the Brat Awards. And there was a handful of gigs, Ireland, Germany. Two at the Point and four in Germany in 2003. And that was it. That was it for 2003. So, can't really make it any higher than that. And the only new song that was released in 2003 was You've Got the Heart of a Star, which was on the Songbird single. So obviously, as it was the only song that was released as like a new piece of music that year, we'll go for that as the best. And it is a great song. I do love it. But don't be ashamed of your body. Okay, on to 2004. 2004, another very quiet year for Oasis. They only did two gigs, one being the Glastonbury Festival headlines slot, and obviously the warm-up for that at Poole Lighthouse the day before. So that was the only gigs they did that year. Obviously, a massive deal to do Glastonbury. It wasn't the best ever performance that they did at Glastonbury, but still very, very cool. It bumps up because we had Shoot Down that year from The Prodigy that Liam featured on. So that was very cool. And then the only other release, I suppose, that year was Keep What You Got, Ian Brown, featuring Noel as well. So yeah, you've got that and Shoot Down. I would go for Shoot Down over it. Yeah, as we talked about when I was talking about Teo Tuhukan, I need to figure out how to pronounce that. He basically just took that instrumental, gave it to Ian Brown, and then Ian did his thing over the top. And it's Noel playing guitar on it and letting loose. So it is really good. But the Shoot Down by the Prodigy is my favourite one. So a couple of interesting collaborations that year. Glastonbury performance. And that's about it. So a quiet year, but obviously a good one if you were at Glastonbury. Right, next up, I'm going to go with 1993. So we are in what year? What number are we now? Number 30. So I'm going to go 1993. So obviously they were then doing some more gigs. Big, big, important year for Oasis in that they get signed, you know, and everything starts happening. So obviously there's still not a huge amount of people being aware of them and listening to them at that stage. But it is starting to grow. They're getting better as a band. You can hear them in the sort of the footage that has been released from the King Tuts and things like that. You know, they are starting to come together now. This is becoming the Oasis that we know and love. So I think it just would have been exciting to see them at that stage, to see them in 1993. So hence I've given it a few more points for that. the only official music that was released in 1993 was the Columbia White Label demo. Now, not an official release, because obviously it was a promo-only single, but if this was in this day and age, then it would have been released to streaming and stuff, wouldn't it? So yeah, so I think we kind of count that as an official release these days. And yeah, and you know, Columbia's not my favourite, but I think that that is a very important moment in the band's history. You know, they got all that radio play on the back of it. So yeah, so I think you have to move up quite a few places for that. The Hit the North, that famous Hit the North radio broadcast, where they played a load of tunes that ended up then getting released on various bits and pieces later, happened in 1993. So that's really, really important. So yeah, all in all, I think it was like an important time for the band. So yeah, so then hence, I think it is just above those other years, 2004, 2003, 2010, where, you know, probably more stuff was happening. But I think just because it was so early and exciting, and, you know, imagine if you'd been an Oasis fan, you know, getting to hear them on the radio for the first time and things like that, it would have been really, really cool. So, yeah, so hence 1993 is at number 30. All right, 29, here we have 2001. So 2001 was another one of these kind of very quiet years. We had the tour of Brotherly Love, which was really cool, and really cool that it was documented as well. On the little DVD, the videos that came out on the sort of the singles in 2002, documented those, which was really, really good. So Noel did some shows with Paul Weller, and he played That's Entertainment on later, which was very cool. And then the only official release from 2001 featuring anyone from Oasis is Steve Marriott tribute concert, where Noel played a load of tunes, including Here Comes the Nice, which is on streaming and things like that. So yeah, and that's when he does lead vocals on. So, yeah, so 2001, bit more going on, especially with the tour of Brotherly Love. I do like this version of Here Comes the Nice as well. So let's have it here.
This one's called Here Comes the Nice. One, two, three.
Okay, 28, I'm going to go with 2014. So 2014, it was the last few BDI gigs. You know, they'd done the last album in 2013. Gem had that injury, so they ended up cutting the tour short. So there was only a handful of gigs in 2014 for them. Noel was also then gearing up to release Chasing Yesterday. So we got the In the Heat of the Moment single in late 2014, and that had Do the Damage as well. So two really great tunes that were like the lead-off singles for the Chasing Yesterday album that would come the next year. So very, very cool. But other than that, as I said, it was a quiet year. There wasn't a huge amount going on. You know, Noel was doing like podcast recordings and things like that, BBC master tapes, and he did quite a lot on the XFM breakfast show and things. So he was doing bits and pieces, building up to the release of the first single and things like that. But yeah, in terms of, you know, actual gigs, no, not really. Just that handful of BDI gigs, really. But that was kind of, you know, the arse end of BDI. But yeah, couple of good tunes from Noel in the heat at the moment, which is great. But I'm going to drop in Do the Damage, because Do the Damage is an absolute beast and no one listens to it enough. All right, so that was number 28. Number 27, I'm going to go back in time a couple of years from where we were at 2014. We're going to go to 2012. So 2012, there was only four BDI gigs. Once again, we're on the back of, you know, Different Gears Still Speeding having been released the year before. So this is just the last few BDI gigs following that. There was a big Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds tour all throughout 2012, pretty much, their album having been released in 2011. Dream On and Everybody's on the Run were released as singles, because Noel was still kind of releasing singles from the album, promoting it. But they weren't really new music. You know, the only new music was... it's one of those where, does this count as new music? You know, remixes, I don't tend to count as new music. But the one I do kind of take exception to, that I do kind of count, I count as an official different song and things like that, is Shoot a Hole into the Sun. And Shoot a Hole into the Sun was a B-side in 2012. So yeah, I do kind of count that. It is, number one, it's got a different name, so you kind of have to count it. But number two, it does feel significantly different enough. This isn't just a remix. It does kind of feel like a song. So, so once again, I think it's sort of, not a brilliant year, but I think the reason it's moved up above some of those other years was there was a proper big tour. You know, there was a big Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds tour that year, lots and lots of shows. So I think you have to, you know, if you were, I didn't see Noel on that tour, but yeah, if you were out and about seeing Noel, then you had the opportunity. He did, like, you know, the Metro Arena in Newcastle. He did the he did Glasgow. He did the O2. You know, he did the NME Awards. He did a lot of shows. He was very, very busy year in 2012 for Noel. So if you're a Noel fan, it was a great year. Liam fan, not so much, because like I said, it was just that sort of kind of off year, really, between the two albums. Okay, next up, we're going to take it a lot more recent now. We're going to go with 2021. So 2021, obviously, we were coming out of COVID at the time. The big highlight, I suppose, that year for Liam was that he did Reading. He did some summer gigs as well, as well as Reading. But Reading, you know, headlining Reading was obviously the big one. Noel was promoting The Best Of. That was the big thing for Noel that year. The first 10 years or whatever it's called, Best Of. And so they released We're On Our Way Now and Flying on the Ground as two singles. So that was really the biggest thing. There was the Come On People, We're Making It Now as well in 2021, that Liam did with Richard Ashcroft, which I kind of think is a bit pointless, to be honest. So I'd say that it was, once again, it was like a quieter year in the recent, you know, in the recent kind of really, really busy years that we've had with Liam and Noel, in those sort of solo years before the reunion. And I suppose it takes an extra jump up because of the fact that Liam did Reading and some of the other festivals, and the fact that Noel, we did get a couple of new tunes. We got those one, the new tunes on the Best Of, which was cool, which was really good. And of those, my favourite is Flying on the Ground. Okay, 25th place, we have 2006. So 2006, it was the end of the Don't Believe the Truth tour. And then in the end of the year, so that's how the year started. And then at the end of the year, you had the Stop the Clocks acoustic tour, which was the one he did with Gem and Terry Kirkbride. And stuff. So yeah, no new music officially released in 2006 from Oasis. So to pick a song here, I'm going to go with one of the tunes that Noel played on that little acoustic tour. He did a few sort of different things on there that he didn't tend to do live elsewhere. And my favourite, I think, is the cover of Strawberry Fields Forever. So let's go with that. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Field. I need to get my bow, Strawberry Field Forever. Okay, in 24th place, we are going with 2009. So 2009, you had the Dig Out Your Soul tour. You had the, you know, obviously it was a huge one for a lot of people that went on that tour. Obviously, it wasn't necessarily the best set of gigs they did, although, you know, a lot of people swear by them. I didn't see them on that tour, so I can't comment, but... You know, 2009, a lot of people got to see them. They did a big stadium tour. The only new music was the fact that they did the Falling Down single. And on the back of the Falling Down single, the B-side of that was Those Swollen Hand Blues. So that's the only official new music we had from them in 2009. And I've probably dropped 2009 down a few places because of the fact they split. So, you know, in a year when, you know, we're talking about whether it was a good year to be a fan, well, it wasn't a great year to be a fan because they split up and that was very sad. So there you go. 24th place, we have 2009 with the tune Those Swollen Hand Blues. Okay, in 23rd place, we have the year 2016. So I'm going with 2016 here because we had another big tour. We had the Chasing Yesterday tour from Noel. We had the El Mexicano sort of single, which was really just B-side. So there was officially a release, but it was just remixes. So nothing majorly exciting there. But the big thing that's moved this up quite a few notches is the Supersonic film came out in 2016. So that, to me, was really exciting. As an Oasis fan, to get to watch Supersonic was great. And it did rekindle that love of Oasis for me. That's really, you know, and then a few months later, I start the Oasis podcast. So it tells you everything, really, doesn't it? So I think that, you know, not a great year you know, all there was obviously was the Knowles Chasing Yesterday tour, but Supersonic Film coming out definitely moved things up a bit and did really, really rekindle that Oasis excitement. Okay, so 22, we are going to go with 2007. 2007 was another quiet year. There was the Lord Don't Slow Me Down documentary came out in 2007, which was, you know, which was filmed, you know, obviously in 2005, 2006, but released in October 2007. So there's another year with a film being the main thing that sort of, you know, drove being an Oasis fan in that year. Yeah, the only single, as I said, the only new music released that year was Lord Don't Slow Me Down. The song, which was then to tie in with obviously the release of the documentary. It did have a couple of B-sides. It had Meaning of Soul live at City of Manchester and Don't Look Back in Anger at the same venue as well. But yeah, that came out in October 2007. Yeah, as much as I love the song, it's the Noel vocal version, and we all have heard the Liam vocal version, and the Liam vocal version is the one that should have been released, really. So it's a bit silly. But yeah, so the 2007, having the Lord Don't Slow Me Down release. The other thing as well, the other exciting release that year was Within You, Without You. So they did the BBC TV show where they got artists to come in and record versions of songs for Sgt. Pepper for the Sgt. Pepper anniversary, what would it have been, 2007, 40-year anniversary. And yeah, and Oasis did Within You, Without You. They kind of did that weird love version where it's like Tomorrow Never Knows with the Within You, Without You melody over the top, which was really, really cool. So yeah, I really like that, actually. It's one of those ones that's annoying that it's not kind of officially an Oasis release because it was only ever shown on TV. It wasn't released as a song. But yeah, I love it. And also in 2007, although it wasn't released until years later, this was the recording of the Noel Gallagher Teenage Cancer Trust performance of The Dreams We Have as Children. So that happened in 2007. That was one of the only gigs of that year. But yeah, very, very legendary show, really, because of the fact that it ended up being released as a free CD with the newspaper and then obviously on streaming and everything afterwards. So yeah, really, that's a great album. Obviously didn't come out in 2007, but it was recorded in 2007. So definitely 2007 gets some points for that. But for tune, I'm going to go with Within You, Without You, because we don't hear it enough. All right, number 21, we are going to go with 1999. So 1999 was, once again, a bit of a funny year, just sort of building up to the fact that they would have the new album coming out in 2000. The one big release in 99 was Carnation, Liam Gallagher and Steve Craddock. And they did play some festivals in December, these sort of like American radio sort of festivals and things like this leading up to the millennium, as it was at the time. So they did that. They played Who Feels Love acoustic on a few radio sessions, which was cool. So it's just sort of building up to the release of the new album. I mean, earlier in the year, they had the press conference at the Water Rats in August, which was cool. I suppose it was a very much a quieter year. Also, Noel, back in May, had done an acoustic set at a Kosovo benefit gig in Kentish Town Forum. where he'd done Bittersweet Symphony as well as Supersonic and Rock and Roll Stars. That's very cool to have a rare kind of Noel doing Bittersweet Symphony is very cool. And, you know, and we know that they were recording, so we can't claim these as sort of 1999 releases, but they were then recording Standing on the Shoulder of Giants, Wheeler End demos for like Carry Us All and Let's All Make Believe and things like that. They were all recorded in 1999. So, yeah, a quieter year, building up to what was to come, but big spike up the options for me because Carnation with Steve Craddock was an absolute banger. So let's go with that. Okay, 2013 is next. So this is number 20 now. I'm going to go 2013. So 2013, obviously we had an album that year. We had the BDI album. Is this the first one where we actually had a full album? I think it is. I think it is, isn't it? So like we said earlier, if an album came out in a year, we give it a bump up. Because, you know, an album coming out is a big deal. So, yeah, the fact that in 2013 we had the BDI album, plus promo for that album, the TV shows and things that they did, and the tour. It wasn't a massive tour, like compared to the previous album, but it was still a decent sort of tour with some good venues. Noel did some gigs, not a huge amount, including some Teenage Cancer Trust gigs, as he often does. But yeah, so the big thing really, 2013, we had a BDI album and a tour. And so, you know, at the time, was I massively bothered? Not really. I got it. Obviously, I listened to it when it came out. It was fine, you know, but probably appreciate it more now, to be honest, years later. Just wasn't really a big part of my life in 2013. But for those of you that were still there and living it as Oasis fans in 2013, yeah, absolutely. We got an album and a tour and some Noel gigs as well. And in terms of picking a song to play us for 2013, I'm going to go with Off at the Next Exit. Now, I've talked about this in rankings and things like that. This, I think, is great. So it's mad to me that this was only kind of like a bonus track on BE, because I think it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, so it's really strange that they got the track listing completely wrong, I think, on that album. But anyway, yeah, I think this is absolutely beautiful. Off at the Next Exit.
Here we go again, needing to explain just what's in our brains. Is never clear, never clear. Are you giving me up? Are you giving me up? Are you giving me up, babe? 'Cause I get the fear, the more I get you near, the more you fade away.
Okay, next up, 19, and we are in 2018. So 2018 was not a year with an album, but it was a year with a big Noel Gallagher High Flying Birds tour following the Who Built the Moon album coming out in late 2017. Plus, we had new tracks. We had God Help Us All. We had Alone on the Rope. So both songs that had been heard before, that had been leaked before or heard in various guises, but did officially get released. So it was great to have those released. And Liam toured. So there was a big Liam tour as well in 2018, following As You Were, the big one being Finsbury Park. you know, that was the big, big show that Liam did that year. I was there. I think I was on that Noel tour as well, wasn't I? I think I saw him in Cardiff on that tour as well. So, yeah, so I saw them both that year. Yeah, but the Liam gig at Finsbury Park being absolutely massive and such a big deal. Yeah, it was very exciting. So, yeah, so 2018 I've got there. And in terms of music from those two, really like them both. But we will go with Alone on the Rope. Okay, 18th, we have 2020. Now, 2020, we had, obviously it was COVID. So we didn't have live performances. There was one live performance. There was Liam did the Down by the River Thames, was recorded in 2020, but then not officially released until many years later. But yeah, recorded in 2020, very exciting. When it was, you know, on the live, on that weird like live broadcast, you still can't get hold of, by the way, you still can't get the physical like a DVD or even a digital download of it. It's very weird. It was just that one-off thing. But yeah, so that was 2020. Noel released the Blue Moon Rising EP. And he also released We're Gonna Get There in the End, which was great, which was like a little bonus December 31st. And he released Don't Stop as well, which was at the time called an Oasis song, which was recorded, I think, back in 2006, 2007. But then it was then released on Council Skies as a Noel Gallagher song. So don't quite know how that works. But anyway, was it Oasis or was it Noel? Who knows? And then also Liam released the Acoustic Sessions and the MTV Unplugged. So they'd both been recorded in 2019, but both got released in 2020, maybe to try and get some money because he couldn't get any money out of touring. And also the one big thing for me, and this is the song of the year, is All You're Dreaming Of. Absolutely loved All You're Dreaming Of. Really, really special. And then in terms of being an Oasis fan, like watching him do that on like Jonathan Ross and things like that, really, really great. So yeah, of that year, it was great, you know, great to have new music, you know, great to have them sort of putting stuff out. Quite a few new songs came out. No official albums, but quite a few new songs. And yeah, the best one for me was All You're Dreaming Of.
Take your spotlight underneath the moon. Sometimes a miracle is all that can carry you. Oh, what are you dreaming of? Is it the kind of love that'll be there when the world is at its worst? That'll cover you in kisses unrehearsed. When you're losing ground, still tell you that you're worth all your dreams.
Okay, 2015 is next. So this is 17, 2015. Now, the big thing with 2015, obviously, we had the Chasing Yesterday album and tour. So yeah, once again, really good album. I'll be honest, like once again, in sort of similar to how I was in BDI, wasn't massively excited by the Chasing Yesterday album when it came out. Liked all the songs, bought it, enjoyed it, but then put it away. Didn't really blow me away too much. But now, yes, much more appreciative of it. Liam had a very quiet year. He didn't really do very much. The one thing that he did do, which was exciting, and that's what we'll drop in here, is that they did a sort of a bring back TFI Friday. And Liam did a version of My Generation with Roger Daltrey and Zach Starkey on drums and stuff. So that was really exciting to see Liam back to do that. So we will go with Liam on TFI.
Now, we have a real treat. This is a proper YouTube kind of moment. Okay, because now performing for us on stage, we thank them so much for agreeing to do this. Touch and go, on, off, on. You know how it is sometimes. But they have come up with the goods and they're about to deliver. I am talking about Liam Gallagher and Roger Daltrey.
Get around. Talking about my generation. They say to the car for calm. Talking about my generation. I might die before I get out. Talking about my generation.
All right, 16, we have 2022. So in 2022, the big thing was Come On You Know was released. The album, and you know, on the back of that as well, Liam played Nebworth, which was such a obviously a huge thing. Yeah, I know, it was bizarre, wasn't it? He literally played Nebworth like a couple of days after the album was out, so you know, you would have thought they'd released the album a few days before, so you know, a few weeks or months before, so people could actually learn the songs, but no, very weird. But yeah, so Come On You Know released. So throughout the year, we had the singles coming up to it, which was always the, you know, with these modern kind of Spotify type releases, you know, you get a song and then another song and another song. The other Liam release was, like I was saying about the River Thames, that got released in 2022. So it was good to have that on an official release finally. Plus Noel played Glastonbury. That was probably the biggest thing for Noel that year, getting to, you know, quite a prominent at Glastonbury. Getting, I remember watching that on TV was really exciting. Yeah, and also Noel was then building up for the release of Council Skies, which would be the next year. So we did have a couple of new tunes. We had Pretty Boy and we had Easy Now, both came out in late 2022. But for me, 2022, if I'm going to pick one song, as much as I loved a lot of Come On You Know, and as much as I really like those sort of couple of Noel tunes, Pretty Boy and Easy Now, for me the big thing was Liam and Nebworth, and so I'm going to go with my highlight of Liam and Nebworth, which was Roll It Over. Okay, 15, and we are, funnily enough, a year on from 2022, where Council Skies is now out, and there was the big tour from Noel. Following Council Skies coming out, there was, Liam did a mini tour. I think he was just catching up on some shows that he'd had to cancel the previous year, but yeah, there was a small mini tour in the summer. And then the Nebworth album got released as well in 2023. But yeah, the big thing really in 2023 was Noel doing Council Skies, doing the tour and the promo for that. Big deal. And for me, from that Council Skies album, the best tune that we'll drop in a clip of here is Dead to the World. Absolutely loved Dead to the World. It really, really blew me away when I heard it. a lot of really good songs on that album, but yeah, Dead to the World, very, very special song. Plus, right at the end of 2023, it was teased that Liam would be doing some stuff with John Squire. And we got this tiny little clip of Just Another Rainbow. And so into 2024, we then had Liam Gallagher, John Squire and the tour. And so I've got this at number 14 next up. So this was exciting. Now, we're really getting into the really big, exciting years. So, 2024, we had Liam Gallagher, John Squire, and the tour. Now, the album wasn't my favourite. It's probably my least favourite album. Oh, I don't know. I can't remember where I ranked it versus the BDI ones. I'm going to have a think about that again. But yeah, it isn't. It's not my favourite album. I think it's got some great moments on it, but it just feels a bit rushed, to be honest. The writing It feels a bit rushed. But anyway, it was cool to have Liam back with a new album with John. It was cool to have the mini tour. I didn't see them on that tour. I know quite a few of you did. And then there was the Liam Gallagher Definitely Maybe tour, which was amazing. Noel did a tour in March and then July, series of few sort of smaller gigs, you know, sort of the smaller like festivals and things like that in the summer. But the big thing, obviously, in 2024 was the announcement, the reunion announcement. All that speculation all through 23 and 24, was it going to happen? Was it going to happen? We finally got the announcement. Yes, it was happening, which was extremely exciting. And so hence, while Liam Gallagher, John Squire was not the most exciting album, actually, you know, the announcement itself was enough to move this up quite a few spaces. And in terms of like what tune to pick, I do really like quite a few songs on this album. I really like Mars to Liverpool. I'm a Wheel, Just Another Rainbow. Let's go Mars to Liverpool. I think that was a really cool one. I really like the chorus. So yeah, let's have a bit of Mars to Liverpool. Okay, so into 13, we're going to go with 1998. Now, you might think that feels very low for 1998, which was a huge year to be an Oasis fan, because that was right in kind of pretty much peak Oasis mania. However, there wasn't really much going on. In terms of new music, the only thing we had were the All Around the World B-sides. So of those, I mean, they're all great songs. Probably my favourite of those three is Street Fighting Man. But there's also The Fame and Flashbacks. So three absolutely brilliant tunes, all came out in January 1998 at the start of the year. Noel, but other than that, it was quiet. I mean, there was the Be Here Now tour, including the madness of them getting in trouble in Australia and stuff like that. So, see, I'm still following along what was going on with the Be Here Now tour. Noel touring with Paul Weller as well. He did a few bits with Paul Weller, did like an acoustic set on Noel's tour, on Paul Weller's tour, sorry. But yeah, beyond that, it was, and then a quieter year for Oasis. And to be honest, kind of like The Verve, Travis and Radiohead and Stereophonics, people like that sort of started creeping up, like it was them sort of coming in to take Oasis' crown. So it was still a brilliant year, still three incredible songs from the All Around the World B-sides, but just not quite as good as these other years that we did have like full albums and full tours. But for the tune, I'm going to go with, although I love Fame and a Flashback, let's go Street Fighter Man. Absolutely love this. Better than the Stones original. And if you don't agree, then I'll fight you. Okay, number 12, we're going to go with 2019. So 2019 was a big year. The main thing that happened that year was the release of Why Me, Why Not, Liam's second and I think best solo album, plus his tour. He had a big tour on the back of that. Plus, Noel released two of the EPs, what I kind of call the three EPs. Black Star Dancing, which had Rattling Rose and Sail On, plus This Is The Place, which had A Dream Is All I Need To Get By and Evil Flower. So, you know, so some really, really good tunes in there. I think of those, my favourite is A Dream Is All I Need To Get By. But if I'm going to go with something from that 2019, Why Me, Why Not, I think is a great album. And I really love a lot of this album. Like, you just look at the track list, Shockwave, One of Us, Once, Now That I Found You, Halo, Why Me, Why Not, Be Still, All Right Now, Meadow, The River, Gone. And then the bonus, Invisible Sun, Misunderstood, Glimmer. You know, that's really, really, really strong. There's not many skips on there at all. But I'd say the strongest tracks are One of Us and Once. And yeah, let's go One of Us. Let's go One of Us. Really, really special song. And so bizarre that he sang, you know, Hey Kid, Did You Know Today 16 years ago? And it was 2009 and they got back together in 2025. So could that have been foreshadowing? That was the plan for 2025? I don't know. But there we go. We are going with 2019. And the tune, we're going with One of Us. Okay, next up we have in 11th place, we have 2011, funnily enough. Now, 2011 was one of those classic years where we had two albums. This was like one of our double Christmas years where we had the Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds album and we had the BDI Different Gear Still Speeding album. And obviously they both did tours on the back of those as well. So very exciting. You know, post Oasis in 2009, we had that sort of funny year in 2010, but then both bands come out firing, High Flying Birds and BDI in 2011 with two albums. Which is your favorite? Well, most people I think favor Noel's album, which I certainly do as well. And it really did feel like Noel was the star coming out of it, like, you know, like coming out of a pop band or a rock band, like who's going to be the star? And it really did kind of feel like it was going to be Noel at the time, because, yeah, it was clearly a stronger album. Like we know, it was all the songs that were written for the next Oasis album, pretty much. And then he just did them himself. So very strong album, really, really good. And a bunch of shows. I didn't see Noel. I did see BDI. I saw BDI play the Swindon Oasis, which I thought was a great show. They played really well, although I didn't think the songs were that great. I thought they were a great band playing not very good songs, which was how I felt at the time. It's pretty much how we feel about BDI. Although, to be fair, there is some good songs. We do really like them. And if I'm picking a song from 2011, I really like a lot of tunes on both albums. But I'm going to go with not the, the most obvious. The most obvious would be like If I Had a Gun or Death of You and Me, What a Life. But for me, I really have always loved Soulja Boys and Jesus Freaks. I just love the kinksiness of it. I love the fact it's like a little story and the horns and everything. Yeah, really, really like Soulja Boys and Jesus Freaks. So we'll go with that. Okay, into the top 10 now, and it is another double album year. Number 10, we have 2017. So 2017 was obviously the, it was the first year of the Oasis podcast, and the impact of the Oasis podcast coming out was that both Gallaghers realised that they there was a big fan base there that they needed to feed. So you're welcome, guys. It was all down to me. But yeah, obviously I'm joking. But yeah, As You Were from Liam came out, and all the singles and everything building up to it. And then that came out. And then later in the year, then we had Who Built the Moon with all the with Fort Knox and all the singles leading up to that. And then the full album coming out. So very exciting to have both brothers releasing really, really strong albums. We had Liam's live return as well, which was really, really exciting. Liam coming back, you know, doing proper live gigs, obviously, you know, for the first time in quite a few years since BDI had split. You had the tragedy of the Ariana Grande thing, which was terrible. But then, you know, Liam comes back and, you know, sort of in tribute to that, played at the One Love MCR show. You know, Noel coming back. It was just a really, really exciting time to be an Oasis fan. Two albums, both brothers back in the forefront, both making really interesting music. I know a lot of people sort of, you know, had a bit of a go at Noel's. It was always too cosmic pop or whatever, but I think there's some great, great songs on Who Built the Moon. You know, and if you don't like that sort of slightly quirkier or sort of, you know, poppy, dancey side, then hey, Liam produced like a really, really good, straightforward sort of a very acoustic-y. You know, you sort of forget how acoustic-y that album is. Very stripped down album. So two great albums, big tours from both. And very, very exciting time to be an Oasis fan. And the Oasis podcast was here. What can you, you know, there you go. How much more excited could you be? From those two albums, I mean, my favourite tunes on the Noel album, Keep On Reaching, I absolutely love. Man Who Built the Moon is fascinating. Obviously, you've got Dead in the Water, which is a very, very special song. But I'm going to go with a tune from the Liam album, Paper Crown. I've always loved this one. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant tune. One that Liam didn't write. And it's a classic example that, you know, you don't have to write the songs. If you've got very, very good songwriters, just Liam, sing their songs and just sing them well. And that's absolutely fine. So, yeah, 2017, great year. Paper Crown. You've never been alone before, and the wolf is at the door.
edges of your paper crown.
Okay, number nine, we have 2002. So 2002, in terms of Oasis, we had the Heathen Chemistry album come out. We had the tour on the back of the Heathen Chemistry album. The majority of that tour happened in 2002, all those big shows. So that was obviously a huge, you know, Heathen Chemistry, not the best Oasis album, maybe the worst Oasis album in a lot of people's opinion. But still, it was very exciting to be, you know, to have Oasis back with a new album. I remember buying all the singles as it came out. Like I said, they had the little documentaries of from the previous tour on them. But yeah, that was really, really cool. In terms of music, obviously we had the Heathen Chemistry album. We also had the singles as well, except for Songbird, which was 2003. We had all the other singles, you know, Little by Little and Hindu Times. And for me, the best song for the whole of 2002 from all those releases is the B-side Idler's Dream. Really, really like Idler's Dream. That's probably, for me, the strongest song from that era.
From heavenly blood you seem to spring. From heavenly waters you can drink. I'll meet you on a day that never ends. I'll greet you.
Okay, into number eight now, and we have 2005. So very similar to 2002 in that it was a year when they were back. They were doing a big tour. Album came out, tour happened. What can you say? You know, they were out there doing what they did in like 2000s Oasis did. Put out a big tour, did a big album. No, put out a big album, did a big tour. You know, there was the City of Manchester Stadium, famously, where the barrier broke. You know, there were so many iconic moments from that tour. And in terms of the songs, if I'm going to pick one from that era, probably the best song of that era, I'd say, is Importance Being Idle, if I'm just going on a song-by-song basis. But what I'm going to choose is Turn Up the Sun. I think because it's sort of, you know, quite a few people have picked on that as, like, you know, that would have been great to hear on this 2025 tour. And also when I think about the 2005, I think about the, you know, the intro, the first song being Turn Up the Sun, the barrier breaking, everyone kicking off. So, yeah, let's go 2005, Turn Up the Sun. Okay, number seven, and it's same again. We've got sort of these 3 years, I think, are relatively similar in that they were the 3 years, you know, where Oasis just put out an album and did a tour, basically. So we have the 2008, the Dig Out Your Soul release. It was, you know, an interesting year. You know, you had the Noel being attacked on stage, you know, which was crazy. You had the sort of the indoor kind of arena tour in late 2008, before they'd obviously did the big shows in the next summer in 2009, which we've already talked about. But yeah, for me, this just goes a little bit above 02 and 05, just because I thought the album was better. You know, at the time when this came out, you know, I just, for me, it was more exciting. It was like, okay, Oasis are finally back, you know, and then songs like Falling Down and Bag It Up and The Turning just gave me so much hope in the future of Oasis. Whereas, you know, even like I felt this was stronger than Don't Believe the Truth. Looking back now, I probably put them similar level, because I think Don't Believe the Truth is probably more solid, but I'd say that Dig Out Your Soul has higher highs, but then lower lows. So yeah, but it gave me excitement that, wow, you know, Oasis can come back and they're going to be something really, really great now. So yeah, so I think of the 3 years, 02, 05 and 08, I'd probably just put 08 ahead just from how I felt at the time. It was more exciting to me to be an Oasis fan in 2008, just because I felt the album was better. So there you go. And of that, I think The Turning. You know, I love The Turning. What a great tune that is. So weird and psychedelic and loud, and Liam's voice. Yeah, absolutely love it. Okay, so this is now really tough once we get into these years that are left now, because we have not in the order I'm choosing, but these top six you can really interchange. So let's just go through them in chronological order. 94, 95, 96, 97, 2000 and 2025. Now, these are all sort of tricky, very tricky years. And who do you choose? Where do you put what? In sixth place, I'm going to go with the year 2000. So the year 2000, we had Standing on the Shoulder of Giants released. We had the tour on the back of Standing on the Shoulder of Giants, which is obviously, you know, very, very exciting. I saw them at Wembley Stadium on that tour, the Familiar to Millions, the one where Liam wasn't drunk. And, you know, and it was great. It was very exciting. The Standing on the Shoulder of Giants album is, once again, it's sort of a one of sort of high highs and low lows for me. I don't think it's the best album. But yeah, it was still Oasis back, having had that couple of years out at their peak, with this new lineup. Very, very exciting. So yeah, so 2000, it's just probably drops below the peak 90s years for me. But yeah, it was still really, really exciting to be an Oasis fan in the year 2000. And for me, the best song released that year was not on the album. It was the B-side, Let's All Make Believe. So let's have a bit of that. In a place I'll never be till I'm crucified. So let's all All right, top five now. Top five. And in fifth place, I'm going to go with 1996. So for me, 1996, in reality, you know, this was kind of peak Oasis fandom for me. So if you think, I got into them in like late 1994, 1995 was huge and ridiculous. 1996 was just like, you know, I'm now 16. I've got my hair cut, you know, everyone's just talking about Oasis. Oasis is on the news all the time. But there wasn't a new album. So I think, you know, can it be above 94, 95 and 97 when it was the year that didn't have a new album? No, I don't think so. Because you did have a new album in those other years. So I've just put it down below those. And obviously 2025 as well, which we'll see where that falls in. But yeah. The only new music we had were the Don't Look Back in Anger B-sides. So we had Step Out, Underneath the Sky and Come and Feel the Noise, all of which I absolutely love. I would probably go with Come and Feel the Noise as my favourite. That to me, you know, to me, the great memory of 1996. Obviously, I saw them at Nebworth and I saw them in Cardiff in the March. So huge for me. In that year, but yeah, having seen them doing Top of the Pops and doing Don't Look Back in Anger and Come on Feel the Noise, you know, just being so excited, like, you know, it's like your teams win the league, like your favorite band has become the biggest band in the world and they're doing these amazing things and they look so cool and they're just, oh, it was so amazing. It was absolutely incredible to be an Oasis fan in 1996. But just dropping it down because they didn't release a new album, you know, that having a new album is the extra level of excitement. So I'm just having to drop it down slightly. Yeah, like I said, saw them twice in Cardiff and Nebworth. So really, really cool. I got to see them twice. But yeah, other than that, what more can you say? I mean, Oasis mania, really. It was insane. There was always stories about them in the paper and on the news and everything. They were the biggest thing in the world. So, yeah, really, really exciting to be an Oasis fan in 1996. And the tune we'll go with, Come On Feel the Noise. Okay, so in number four and just above 1996, I have gone with 2025. So this is the last year we've just had. Yeah, obviously, you know, you just lived through it, right? It was the reunion tour. It was incredible. It was as big, if not bigger, than anything that happened in the 90s. It was huge, you know, to be so big, so high profile. You know, obviously it's a different time. We've now got, you know, like things like pop-up stores and things like that. Well, that wouldn't have existed back in the 90s. But to have had the pop-up stores, to have had the drone footage, to have had like the videos coming out, to have had such a big gap, and then the brothers are here and they're back again. You know, personally for me, you know, being part of it, like doing all the new stuff and things that I did, was just really, really exciting. So, yeah, so it's interesting to think about, and I did struggle with 2025 versus 1996, because they're both similar in that, you know, there was really, it was just gigs. You know, 1996, that you had that sort of run of the gigs where it was probably like still full band kind of gigs with the traditional sort of how they toured Morning Glory in the previous year with Noel doing the acoustic set and stuff. Before then, you have the mega gigs in 96. So there wasn't tons and tons and tons of gigs. You had like the Nebworth and Slane and Loch Lomond and stuff. Whereas in this year, obviously you had all the gigs all around the world. They were the same, you know, they didn't really change much, but it was so exciting having had that gap. Yeah, so hence I think it's just edged out 1996 for me to be in number four. We had the no new music at all from the brothers, but we did have the live releases. So we had some, you know, we had a few tunes released on Spotify from the gigs. We were hoping to get more because it was like a week after the show they would do a release, and we thought that might go through the whole tour, but it didn't. It stopped after the first few. But my favorite from those is Cigarettes and Alcohol. So let's give this a drop.
You gotta make it.
All right, into the top three now. And number three, I'm going to go with 1997. So 1997 was really, really exciting to be an Oasis fan. You had the release of Be Here Now. You had the whole build up to it, how exciting that was. Do you know what I mean? Coming out, getting to hear that on the radio was, you know, just a moment. I could still picture myself in my bedroom hearing it. And, oh my God, they're going to play the new Oasis song next. Like, it being so exciting, hearing all of the Be Here Now, the tracks that they sort of played on the evening session before the album came out was so exciting. And getting the album, got to see them on the tour. I saw them twice. I saw them in London and Newcastle. So that was really, really cool to see them twice on that tour. But yeah, once again, it was just, you know, the Right Here, Right Now documentary. Everything at the time was just so exciting with them being back. There was that thing about, you know, oh, well, is it a drop down? Is it a disappointment? I didn't think it was disappointing at the time. I thought it was brilliant. I think it was, I think I remember thinking at the time that, similar to like I was saying about Dig Out Your Soul versus like Don't Believe the Truth, I felt it was more consistent than Morning Glory, but didn't have as high highs. I just thought it was really good all the way through, but it didn't. The best moments weren't quite as good as the best moments of the other albums. So yeah, great year. So exciting to be an Oasis fan. I mean, I was 16, 17 that year, which obviously makes a big difference when you're young. But yeah, absolutely incredible. And my favourite song from that era is Don't Go Away. So let's drop in a bit of Don't Go Away. Okay, so next up we have, obviously there's two left. We have 1994 and 1995. And in second place, I'm going to go with 1994. So obviously 1994 is the year that Oasis go supersonic. They start off, you have the release of Definitely Maybe. You have, you know, the before that, you get the release of Supersonic and then Shaker Maker and the build throughout the year. And as they get more and more exciting, to then end with whatever coming out at the end of the year. Now, obviously, I only got into them near the end of the year. It was only sort of around the summer that, you know, I ended up hearing them for the first time. And then Cigarettes and Alcohol, I remember coming out. And then by the time, you know, whatever, I bought on single. And by that time, we'd then gone back and bought all the singles as well. But yeah, very, very exciting to be an Oasis fan at the time, because it wasn't, you know, it was just like, have you heard this really great band? It wasn't like this pop cultural phenomenon or anything like that. It was just like, oh, this band's amazing. But before, you know, really being into bands, you know, being into bands not really being a thing, but Oasis being this thing about, well, I'm going to listen to this indie music that I hadn't really been into before, because this band was just so amazing. So it was a different type of excitement to like the 1997 type excitement or the 2025, because it was this mysterious and exciting and life-changing thing. But yeah, absolutely incredible. And yeah, and the legendary gigs as well. Obviously, I didn't go to anyone in 1994. I was too young. But yeah, when you look back now and see them just at the peak of their powers, an absolute machine, what a band, how exciting. And yeah, so 1994 is for me number two. And if I'm going to pick something from that year, well, I already picked Ziggs and Alk for the live releases. So let's go with Cloudburst, because Cloudburst was really for me one where I got, you know, as I've told the story before, I got given this tape that got sort of passed around everyone with, you know, the B-sides on one side, the Definitely Maybe on the other side, and hearing Cloudburst and just being like, you know, wake up, there's a new day dawning. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. So I've got such a distinct memory of having that on my Walkman, just listening to that. So yeah, Cloudburst, wake up, there's a new day dawning. That was what 1994 was for me. And then, so obviously, in first place, it has to be 1995. Cannot argue with that at all. I mean, for me, for 1995, if you think, like, as you just go through the year, there was, you know, having discovered them in sort of the second half of 1994. And then, then just really starting to follow it and getting excited about, oh, they're going to come back and put out new music. And then they do in Some Might Say coming out. I remember buying the Some Might Say single from HMV in Oxford and then getting home with it and listening to it and being so excited to hear these four new songs from Oasis. We've got like, oh, wow, it's almost a whole new album. So incredible. Absolutely loved it. Some Might Say, Talk Tonight, Head Shrinker, Acquiesce. You cannot argue with that, with those four tunes. And then Roll With It in the Summer. I've got such a vivid memory of the summer getting Roll With It and Country House and just like, you know, and just listening to those in the back garden with my mates. Summer of 95, just turned 15 years old. Yeah, really, really, you know, just ties in with all those like crazy teenage memories and stuff. So absolutely love it. Really, really exciting to be an Oasis fan at the time. Changed my haircut. It would have been in 1995 when I changed my haircut, changed the way I dressed, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, absolutely incredible. And then the album comes out. You know, the album comes out, Wonderwall, but goes insane. And then through to the end of the year, you had all the excitement of seeing them on TV, you know, hearing them, just having the album. Both albums and then it just being so big and so crazy. So absolutely incredible. 1995 for me, has to take it. I've just got such vivid memories of them, you know, of that transition, I suppose. Like, we talked about how big they were in 96 97. We talked about how exciting it was, this new thing happening in 94. 95 was kind of that peak in the middle. And then when you're talking about, you know, as a band, well, the fact they were doing all those amazing shows, you know, the way that it transitioned from, if you think about the Live by the Sea type set, which was in the, you know, the start of 1995 through to the Earl's Court set at the end of 1995, it was almost like a different band as well. Obviously, they had a different drummer because they binned off Tony McCarroll halfway through. But yeah, it's such a transition, such a big change. The live shows are incredible, and the music. You cannot argue with the music, you know, from the Some Might Say single all the way through to near the end of the year. Absolutely insane. And so, yeah, what do we go with in 1995? Let's go with, you know what, I'm just going to be really cheesy here, and I'm going to go with the song that, for me, when I think about 1995, I think about Roll With It. I think about Roll With It. I think about that coming out in the summer and really loving it. I know that people now look back and, oh, Roll With It. It was great, man. It kicked ass. It was just so exciting. Watching them play it on Top of the Pops when they did that like piss-takey thing where they swapped places and stuff. The Battle of Britpop. It was great, you know. And my memory, when I think about it, when I think about 1995, the sound, the feeling, It is Roll With It. So we will go with Roll With It. Well, there we go. I hope you guys have enjoyed that. Let me know what you think. Do you completely disagree with my comments? And feel free to get in touch on the social media. Let me know what you think. And yeah, very exciting. All right. Well, look, that will do it for today. Thank you very much for listening. And most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is. It's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where we post bonus episodes. The episodes always go up early. But the big thing is you get access to the Discord. So you can become a Discord member. And often these sort of ideas, you know, what sort of shows we're going to do, I'll be bouncing off the guys on the Discord. So if you want to kind of become part of the brain trust, so to speak, the Discord is the way to do it. Obviously, thanks go to the wonderful people at Wonderwall Beer. Because I've got a few freebie Wonderwall beers, I'm not going to lie, they did go as presents to some family members. So thank you very much, Johnny, for sorting me out there. That helped me out a little bit. And yeah, thank you very much, Wonderwall Beer. Make sure you're following them, Wonderwall Beer UK on Instagram. Always loads of interesting stuff going on over there, giveaways, competitions and things. So make sure you give them a follow and tell them the Oasis podcast sent you. All right. Well, look, we've been doing a lot of nostalgia and looking back and thinking back about the past. But the exciting thing is, what is going to come in the future? We've got a big blank slate ahead of us. 2026 is brand new and fresh. And what are we going to get? Who knows? But the one thing we do know is that we'll be covering it here on the world famous, beloved, amazing Oasis podcast. So thank you very much for listening. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young. Cause we know